Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
I just was reading an article about how artificial intelligence is starting their own language and these robots communicate to each other and we don't know what they're talking about.
No, come on.
Yes, come on.
No.
Yes.
And they're finding it and they can't stop the...
Right.
And if we pull the plug, they keep going?
They get angrier. They get angrier. Who are... Humans United Against Robots.com. Take a look if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Do you know what I just pictured? That like it escalates and then it gets to they pull their own plug while they're staring at you.
Yeah. They're spitting out batteries.
Yeah. They're just like, what do you think this means to us?
Today's guests, brand new to the Keith and the Girl universe, we have Kath and Jan, and they have a podcast called In the Service, and it's about the good, the bad, the ugly of the service industry. So we're gonna learn a lot.
And this is not the army service.
Right. You know what? I've done both. And yeah. Restaurant work was tougher. If you're seeing on the camera, you'll notice they're wearing ridiculous wigs. And that is because...
Ridiculous or super deluxe awesome, and I might steal it from them.
Mm-hmm, one of them. Because they're incognito, because they do share the things that go on in their jobs, right?
Yeah.
And I guess if you worked for me, I would have no idea who you were because I don't hire people with purple hair and neon yellow hair.
How, I'm sorry to ask this first thing, but how incognito do you guys think you are right now?
I mean, no one knows it's me for sure.
Sure.
And of course, these are fake names, but Kath, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. And Jan?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Outstanding. I happen to, before we get to the service industry stuff, watch again, I just came across it somehow, the tweet that Donald Trump sent out where, and I understand a Redditor made this meme, but the President of the United States retweets it, and it's him when he was actually a guest on the WWE, and he beat up Vince McMahon. They were both
tackled him to the ground.
Yeah,
right?
Tackled him to the ground and then, you know, fake punched him in the face. Mm. So in this tweet, it's Donald Trump, you know, tackling somebody. The person being tackled has the CNN symbol over his head. So Donald Trump tweets out from his personal account, then from the presidential POTUS, that account, him tackling CNN, calling it fake news, and beating up CNN. That is the President of the United States.
Well, what do you... I don't understand. What's the problem, Keith?
He knows it becomes a, you know...
No, I want to see it from the other side. What's the problem? Explain
it
to me.
It doesn't feel presidential. And
but we've had people who feel presidential and they just do the same shit. So what's the problem, Keith?
Oh, you're saying it has happened before? Because I don't remember. My use of social media is not presidential, he writes. It's modern day presidential.
Ah, he got you, you old fart.
Right. Make America great again.
The modern day great again.
I am thinking about changing the name CNN to Fraud News CNN.
Ooh, that's so clever. We have to give it to him.
I don't think he knows he can't do that. Chris Regan writes...
Why would he think that he can't do something? He became the fucking president of the United States because he farted one day very loud and somebody said that sounded presidential and he went with it.
This person, Chris, writes, the Trump CNN gif was created by a Reddit user named Han Asshole Solo. Or as he's known by now, Secretary of the Navy, Han Asshole Solo. Why not? Seth Rogen tweeted out, remember the time the president photoshopped the logo of a news company on a person, then tweeted a vid of him fake wrestling that logo? This is going to stand the test of time. Right. You know, this is our history.
And this is now our news, too.
Right. And, you know, I'm looking at one of these political cartoons and, you know, you would have the great Abraham Lincoln and a speech that he made, you know, etched in marble. Now you're going to have, you know, Donald Trump. And here's one of his tweets. Complaining about that show, I believe it's Morning Joe. Then how come low IQ Crazy Micah, the female co-host, along with Psycho Joe, came to Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no.
What?
Imagine going, your sixth grader stands up in front of the class and gives a speech.
about current events today, yeah. and this is what That's the president it. Is doing. Oh,
you know
my
what?
Goodness.
But my problem is like one of my problems for the past few months slash year slash oh my god, let's not try to kill ourselves, but let's move on. One of my problems is that he makes us start talking about past presidents like they're marvelous and they never said anything bad and they wouldn't do this because they conduct themselves on a higher plane. I don't think that so much. I do think our past presidents are pieces of shit, misogynist, fuck faces, like that do talk like this behind closed doors. The difference is when they get caught, they go, fuck, let's fix this. He gets caught and goes, what are you? And that's a difference. When I go, I really think that you don't know the difference. And I can't tell if that's scarier because it feels scarier. But am I going on feelings or am I just being emotional?
I mean, that's probably what he would want you to think, that you're just being emotional. Definitely. And that it's an irrational reaction to the situation.
To the fake news.
Yeah.
Just being a woman.
A story came out where Selma Hayek, just of all people, but it happens to be Selma Hayek, Donald Trump hit on her, asked to go out with her, even though she knew he knew the boyfriend. And she said no. And then he put a story in the National Enquirer that said she asked to go out with him, but he wouldn't do it because she was too short. This is your president.
I know a guy like that. He's the president of shithead, but I know a guy like that. Like he'll hit on a woman. She'll say no or reject him some kind of way.
Right.
And he will tell stories about how she hit on him, because in no world does he hit on someone without, you know, getting it. If, right. if he didn't sleep with that hot girl or whatever he thinks is hot, it's because he rejected her.
Right. Instead of Donald Trump wouldn't even have to bring this up. He's like, no, I'm hurt and I'm going to spin this. By the way, remember?
That's locker room talk.
Remember when the...
For 69-year-olds.
Taxing tea was like the ultimate. And it got us so pissed off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We dumped a whole bunch of it into a harbor, yeah. you know?
Now we're talking taxing weed.
I remember...
Make America Great Again.
July 4th, the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie.
He's the best.
He closed down the beach, right? What beach was that he closed? Closes down a public beach, and then he goes there with his family. Mm-hmm.
He made it a private beach for himself.
Yes.
I mean, that sounds great. What's wrong about that?
The guy needs room to breathe. He has a hard job.
Well,
the beaches are always crowded.
Right. I mean, first of all, yes. We're not going to fit in the beach if he's there anyway. You know what I mean? He's going to be
also true.
He's going to be blocking the sun.
Yep.
He's doing us a favor, you're saying?
It's the honest to God, it's the only way he can fit on the beach.
I mean,
if he doesn't let the public use it.
I don't really want to see him in a bathing suit anyway, so
right.
Right.
Thanks for that.
I want to see him naked. Fuck this, I don't want to see him in a bathing suit shit. I want to see him naked, I want his dick out, and I want to point and laugh. And that's not because, you know, I'm trying to shame anybody's body. I'm trying to shame his body specifically, because he could have the best fucking dick in the world. But I insist that we point and laugh.
Sure.
Thank you. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. It's a new March. Go to keithandthegirl.com/events. Let's get this thing together. We're going to go point and laugh at this guy's dick.
Think of all the places he can't put sunscreen on. You know, he didn't have a good time.
He's another one. Does he recognize what a fuckface he is? Does he go, ugh, I got caught? Or does he go like, what?
No.
That's my sound for idiots.
I was told that he closed the beach so that Greenpeace didn't come and put him back in the water. I don't know if that's true or not.
I hate Keith's fat jokes because I laugh at them and I'm like, no, I'm better than this. And I'm not.
She's better. Let's point at his dick and laugh. She's better though. Let me mention this. Zip Recruiter, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? It's challenging, right? To find the great talent. And they're going to help you with it. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. That easy. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches right people to your job. The right people to your job better than anyone else. The bet. We're going to be winning.
I like that.
I like winning.
Yeah.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. You see, unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
It's almost like they're recruiting people, but like fast, like in a, what's the word for it?
expedited.
Zippy.
No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, write, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, you can post on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. All right. Now, let's talk about this In the Service. This show comes out Tuesday. So last night, Monday night, I was on your live show. You were kind of shocked how good I was. I know you pulled me on there because you were excited, but what a fun time that was, wasn't it?
As in the audience, Keith, you nailed it.
Thank you.
I mean, I think Kath and Jen helped a little.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we got to give them some credit.
Pros.
Congrats on your first live show.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. We're really glad you could be there, Keith.
Thank you. So on the podcast, you talk about, you know, the pitfalls of serving of, you know, and you talk with the chefs and everybody. I've probably been a waiter for 15 years. Together, you've been a waiter for 20 years. So there are some things I do want to go over. First of all, I think I've noticed that every job I've ever worked at, every single woman, because of the way they're treated, ended up crying in the restaurant. Do you find this to be true or not true?
Me personally, I have not cried in the restaurant on the floor.
Okay. In the back though?
I mean, there's definitely moments where you have a bad situation that erupts into an even worse situation. And then you have to just walk off the floor for a minute and maybe scream and pound on things in the beer cooler and then walk back out. But crying, not so much for me.
You didn't cry?
No.
Okay. Jan?
I've cried once. I was clearing a table and a guy was gesturing very, very wildly. And I don't think he heard me come up behind him. And so I was taking his plate and he hit me in the face with his hand. And it was so shocking that I like grabbed his plate and I ran into the back and it didn't hurt as much as I was just like surprised. Right. And so I went into the beer cooler and I just cried for a minute because I was like,
does that count? Because it's not a treatment. It's just like
if somebody punches you, that's different.
Yeah. Right. It hurt. My lips swole up. It was not fun.
What was his response to it?
He said, "Don't sue me."
That's it?
Yeah. I don't think felt remorse. He was like, "Oh my, I'm sorry. Like, don't sue me." And then I went back and they kind of did not acknowledge that had happened before. Right. And yeah, it was bad. I had never been hit by a guest before. It was unintentional on his part, of course, but
what was the tip?
Just 20%.
It was a duck. That's the tip.
Keep
your eyes open. Do you find a big difference between the way women are treated and men are treated by customers?
Oh, yeah.
The men, they think they have a right to do almost anything because you're their servant. Is that true?
Not even servant, I would say.
Whore.
Mistress more. Mistress. Like, our job requires us to be charming and engaging and to read the guests so that we can best meet their needs. Mm-hmm. A lot of the male clientele seem to interpret that as I'm flirting with them.
Right.
Or, well, but because you just described the same thing that, you know, a call girl would do as well, you know.
Sure.
It's a different you're handing them something different. But yeah, it's, you have to make them feel comfortable and meet their service needs.
How does, and I've seen this, it must be so disgusting that I think this is the mentality when guys are saying, "Hey sweetheart, I'll take eggs and bacon," they're telling themselves that there is a chance that if I wanted to, you would date me. And I could tell because you're not correcting me saying sweetheart.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely something that they assume. And there's been other instances where I'm behind the bar and I've created drinks on the list and the guest will more than often go to the male bartender because he clearly must know more than me.
I see.
Even though I've created the list, you know, whatever.
Or the guy's like a barback who...
Right, who's not even focused on trying to create drinks at all.
Right.
Or they're like, "Hey, if things don't work out with you and your man, you can, you know where to find me."
Right, a table four.
I'm like, I'm like across from my bar being a sleazeball. No, thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah.
Is the whole idea of tipping the worst? I know. Yeah, I know the rules are the rules now, and there's nothing we can do about it. But wouldn't it be so nice if the restaurant just paid you?
If you just knew what you were going home with at the end of the day,
yeah,
for the amount of work that you did.
Right.
It is nice. I think, though, where you have a party that especially you're so in tune with and they are appreciative of all your suggestions and you provide them a really great time. There's like rapport and they're having a great time.
Oh, I don't provide a great time. I just want a flat fee.
You want a flat fee? Like getting a 25% tip where you feel like you've gone above and beyond and seeing that in a monetary response is really cool. But I do definitely think that there should be a flat line of how much you get tipped where you're not having people who come in and leave like 10% because they either don't know, quote unquote, or they just looked at the bill and didn't realize that stuff would be that expensive and they're being cheap.
I think both of those are bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like one, use adding skills. We also have a calculator in our pocket now. And two, you know, there is no, you don't know. America is not a place that you can't Google. It's not a place that we haven't spoken about the tipping thing. We know that America tips. We know that Europe doesn't and has a different, like, if right now I don't know how a different country tips, I would know to look it up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked in every country, you know, a regular civilian.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm in London. What are the rules?
What are the customs? What shouldn't I miss out on? And also, our menus now say it because we know it's bullshit.
Right.
Kath, have you ever chased down a person based on a tip?
Not based on a tip, but based on people trying to walk out of the bar and not paying. Mm. I've definitely, like, because I always make it a point to pick up the check before the guest leaves, hopefully.
Right.
Sometimes it's not always possible, but when I do and there's no payment at all, yeah, I'm going to beeline it out of the bar and around the block to find you to make sure you pay your bill.
Well, how'd that go?
It's not usually good.
What excuses did they have? I worked in a restaurant, Dallas Barbecue. I worked for a little bit, and people just constantly, every day, at least one table would try to sneak out. And I have to go chase them down,
mm-hmm.
and then go, you have to pay. And they're like, oh, I didn't know where to pay. What's not down Second Avenue?
Right. It's still in the same building.
Your system is so confusing. We're going to do it by the cash register.
Mm. No. What did you, like, does something stand out that you did that?
Just that they were all of a sudden gone. It was a group of people and they were younger, already giving me kind of a hard time. And then all of a sudden there's just the check and nothing else. And I check my computer to make sure it's not my mistake that maybe they did pay. No. And then I just, like, had to run out of the bar, down the dining room, out the restaurant, down the street, down Second Avenue, actually. Yeah. And find them and be like, hey, I'm so sorry. You actually didn't pay your bill. Yeah, and that's me working in the industry for so long. I found I'm overly apologetic, even though it's your mistake.
Right.
I'm still going to be like, I'm really sorry. Can you please just pay your bill?
What did they say? Oh, you, like, shit. Thank you for being sorry.
They're like, oh, my God. I didn't even realize it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Right. And then it's like four people have to decide who's actually going to pay the bill. I'm like, wait, you
separate
guys.
Separate checks?
Y'all were onto this. You knew.
Has that happened to you, Jen, where you would get a low tip and say, what was everything that to your satisfaction? Yeah, thanks. It was.
No, I'm too much of a chicken for that. I have waited on people who have been tourists who come into the city, and I got straight up pennies one time.
Right. So they know.
They know. They obviously know. And
you don't think you tip pennies.
Right. They know that they were just like, they had pocket change. They wanted to use that. And for those people, it's not even worth. For me, I don't want to use my breath.
Yeah,
just
because
go on, go home.
I don't think that it, because I've known a lot of waiters. I know I'm bragging, but and they, a lot of them have run out and said, "Hey, was there a problem? You know, you didn't tip me." However, they say it, and usually they say it really well. Like as much of an embarrassment as that can be, I think that waiters have come up with a way to, you know, like you said, you apologize, you say, "Oh, was there confusion? Did I do something?" Never once was it like, oh shit, yeah, here's a 20. It's usually like, why are you bothering me? Like, clearly I wasn't happy, or what the fuck are you talking about? Or why are you saying this in front of my family? So never once did it work out like, oh, the, sure, I meant to tip 100%.
How about drunk diners?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Do people get drunk and think they're funny?
Yes. Yeah. And they think they're more attractive than they are. Right. And they think they're like making a great game with me. And some, you know, I like to play along. Service industry is really fun because you can manipulate your personality based on the guests in front of you. So sure, I'll buy into it for a little bit.
How do you deal with a drunk? This is the best burger because I'm eating it. So
I'm like, yeah, it is. It's the best burger ever. I'm so glad you like it.
You're the prettiest and I'm the prettiest. And I think that pretty is pretty. You know what I mean?
I think your hair's a normal fucking color.
I mean, pretty is pretty and I'm pretty and, you know.
Would you really go with it like that?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first started in the industry, I was much more reserved. So if someone told me to smile, I would probably be like, okay, sure.
Right.
And now, 13 years later, yeah, if you tell me to smile, I'll probably be like, say something funny. Maybe, like, tell me a joke.
Did you ever get in trouble for the way you interacted with a customer? I'm sorry, they keep calling them guests. This is like a really nicer version of something. I don't know. You know, I like to make the guests feel comfortable, so I apologize in front of every sentence.
I put my legs up on the table. I'm the guest. I'll do what I want.
Be my guest.
Kath, you're a lawyer also, right?
I am.
How do you have time to do both?
It's hard. I'm a first year associate, so I'm not making any money.
Okay.
So to bartend is a nice option because I can supplement my income.
Okay.
It's also interesting because being a bartender behind the bar, guests kind of forget who's listening and that anybody is listening.
Right.
And I'll hear them talk about, you know, cases or clients, and then 10 minutes go by and they're like, oh, hey, you, yeah, Kath. And then I'm like, oh, okay. I already know you're a lawyer, and now your face is forever burned in my brain for when I see you in court.
Right.
Because if that's how you're treating me now, I can't wait to see you in court.
But she also, Kath, has the bug. She loves bartending, and...
Is that a disease? I think it is.
Who are
these weirdos that love to serve?
She loves
it. It's just there.
My husband loves it, and I had to be like, you got to stop because this is a job that treats you like shit, and you don't know how much money you're going to make, you know? Right. And he loves serving, and I get that. Like, I love having people over my house. I love, like, you know, watching people's face light up as they eat. Like, I like being that person for them. But I got to say, bartending, you don't, like, I'm inviting certain people to my house, you know? Bartending, you just get whoever.
Yeah. That's what makes it fun, though. Every guest is a different party that you're hosting, you know? So you don't know what they're coming into the bar with, how their day was before, or what they're going into later. And it's really fun to create an experience for them that lets them enjoy just that moment.
Oh my God, you are so
nice. She's a pro.
What the fuck? I tried bartending for one night and I'm like, this is going to be so cool. I'm the cool bartender. Like, everyone's going to love me. I'm giving them alcohol. Oh my God, people are fucking assholes. Motherfucker. This one, I will never forget this bitch. She comes up to the bar. I do this whole thing with her. She's like, not flirting with me, but we're doing this rapport thing. And I do this like... certain thing for her shot, whatever the fuck it was, and it was like four shots, something, not $1. I was like, that's right, that can happen. I can do everything that I do, and you do nothing, and I don't get anything for those drinks. Yeah, I think I'm done.
You know what I hated the most? And by the way, is it fun, that thing they have where you can be a guest bartender?
Yeah, it's really fun, depending on where you're going. If you know the management enough to like get a layout of what's going to happen before, that's really helpful.
What I never like doing.
Oh, and the manager touched my fucking ass. Ooh. Anyway, continue.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
no. Yeah, well,
he got another issue.
He got mouth cancer. Anyway.
Okay. Not from your ass, I guess. I'm related.
You know what? Yes, from my ass. Stop touching my ass.
I wouldn't like, after the end of the shift, and then you and a couple coworkers decide to go to the neighbor bar, and where everybody knows everybody. Because the next thing you know, maybe they're hooking you up, but you're tipping triple than you would ever tip.
Yeah, because you know the person. You're like, I'm getting free drinks. Here's a 20 for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get, like, I see servers in general, you know, like waiters, bartenders, whatever, everybody in that industry going to the after party after, and it's just in another restaurant, bar, whatever, and whatever they made that night is getting thrown out the window.
Yeah, but I think you're just treated so badly, probably, that you got to get drunk. And it's a shame that your service is the only place that does that.
I mean, it's not that it's always bad nights, then that's why we go out after work. Good nights, too. We go out and we celebrate with our fellow servers and bartenders and sometimes back of the house and just relish in the fact that we just crushed 400 covers and there weren't that many like major mistakes. And that's pretty amazing.
Right. We fucking crushed it.
We fucking crushed it. And then we get free beer and tequila on top of it. So yeah, here's all of my tip money from the night.
I remember working at these places and just the way they treat the waiters. And, you know, you guys, you all did good today. You can split this piece of cake. Mm-hmm. And we're excited. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, let's all get a fork. We're splitting a piece of cake. Fuck you.
It was 10 servers to one piece of cake.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Worse than that was the restaurants that you worked in where they have legitimate, delicious, healthy food at the end of the night that they completely toss out. And I get it. Like, I know that it is a law, but I also know that you know your way around all these other motherfucking laws. You know, like, oh, interesting that you don't hire anyone of color. Oh, what kind of law is that? Oh, the law that you have to throw out your salad at the end of the night instead of giving it to your servers that possibly only made $35 in a 5-hour shift. Yeah. You know, just go listen, because Baby Butt worked in a place where you're not allowed to do that. But the manager said, listen, if you get caught, I don't know that you did it, but you know, if you want to like do whatever, you know, because all you're doing is taking it and putting it in your bag and taking home instead of taking it, putting in a bag and taking it to the dumpster. So I don't want to get in trouble for that. But I also don't want to watch you throw out all that food.
It's offensive. Yes,
it is offensive.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge problem that I struggle with regularly in restaurants, in that not only do they not just give it to the staff, but they don't just put it into go containers and give it to the people outside.
Well, supposedly also like there are places that will pick it up and everything, but it is apparently hard to do because there's a lot of lawsuits, as you may know as a lawyer, even with soup kitchens and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's just a risk that they take with quote expired food. But it's silly.
We had a blackout, and so of course, and I was working at a steak restaurant. And I said, you know what? This blackout seems to be going on for a while. I happened to be working that day, but they were closing the restaurant, of course, because everything, you know, is going rotten. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna start a barbecue. We're gonna barbecue a pizza that we have in the freezer. You know, we're gonna barbecue everything.
Yeah, because it was blackout enough that everyone knew whatever is gonna be in your fridge and freezer is about to go bad. So we lived in a community where you can see other people. So we started a barbecue.
And we said, you know what? Does the restaurant want to give us some? You guys come over too, of course, but give us a couple steaks and we'll feed some. No. Why? I don't know. It doesn't seem right. Ugh. So all the steaks just died.
I think that restaurant was like, oh, but if we give it to you now, you'll always want it. Like they treated you like, oh, you're just greedy little peons who are just going to take advantages of us as soon as we give you a little bit. That's how that restaurant treated you.
When there's another blackout, you'll be confused and think that.
right.
Would you find yourself using the bathroom when you don't need it for a break?
Oh, yeah. Always.
All the time. Even now when I'm not bartending, I still like just go hang out in the bathroom for a little bit to get away.
It happens to be the same place that we're talking about, this Jewish restaurant, but people would order kebabs and I would put a little piece on the side until the next thing you know, I had a whole meal. And then I'd go in the bathroom and I had condiments in a tin to-go container floating on the toilet tank. And I would just have a meal right there.
That's genius.
Yeah,
that's great.
They would rather you do that.
Yes.
Than take food home at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
I do. I know if I was a waiter, I would definitely eat off people's plates after they were done, because I've helped, you know, once like I started helping clean at a restaurant, I was like, ew, people are really gross. Like, they really don't care where they put. I mean, this was a Park Avenue, you know. This hamburger cost a lot of money and it looks like an ape ate it. Yeah. And it was, you know, somebody who lives on Park Avenue, like fully dressed in whatever the fuck you're supposed to be dressed in that costs too much, you know? Disgusting. But I noticed full burgers with one bite. Right. I noticed all the French fries still on the table. There was so much food. I'm like, I absolutely would cut that burger in half and just fucking eat it. Do you do that? Do you eat off people's plates?
I have a general rule that no, I don't eat off of people's plates because people are so gross in restaurants. No, there are exceptions to every rule. And the exception being if someone ordered a filet mignon and ate 3/4 of it, but right. there's 2 slices totally untouched.
Looks like we got ourselves a lawbreaker.
You know? And then I'm like hiding in the corner, just like chomping down pieces of steak, trying to get it down before my manager comes up to me. Like, what are you doing? I'm like,
mm-hmm. Do you think they know that we eat the food and they let us, you know, pretend we're getting away with it so that we think that we are pieces of shit?
Yes.
And then they can treat us like pieces of shit, but we're fine with that because we treat ourselves like pieces of shit?
Yes. Yes.
There's, yeah, something to be said about that, sure.
Yeah, and then they don't have to give you more because you think you're taking something. And they're like, yeah, go ahead and take that piece off that customer's plate. They paid for it. I never worked as a waiter, but I worked as a children's party entertainer. And my boss told me this story when he was actually doing the stuff that we did. He was now managing and overseeing. He was like in a Barney costume, a giant Elmo costume, whatever it was. And he would play with the kids, let's see how much food you can get in Elmo's mouth. And this is my boss telling me this. And he would be at a party and they, Elmo want that pizza. And the kids would like shove it in the face and he'd chomp down on it. That's terrible.
I was at a restaurant just the other day, and I'll put this picture on the website, but they have all these different signs, you know, beware pickpockets and loose women, you know, these old school signs. Oh. And here's one that they had up. It says, I majored in liberal arts. Would you like fries with that? How is that fun? get it? Because you guys went to college.
And paid for it.
And now you got to serve these people. Do you want fries? I'm the boss. We'll put that sign up.
Yeah, no. More offensive than anything else, I think. If there was a guest, they'd be like, bye.
Yeah.
Have you noticed a Yelp review that was about you?
Oh, I forgot that there's Yelp now.
Oh, everybody, they love this power. I never in my life had, I must give my report on a cheeseburger. Ugh. Just live your life and don't go there again. Like, unless the guy's, I don't know, anti-Semitic. Who gives a shit how your fries were?
I gotta say, I disagree.
You don't do it though.
I don't, but I know people who do it and I know that I have looked at it or have used it somehow. And I like that it's real people shit. Unfortunately, I think you are right, Keith. People get a little snubbed and it goes too far.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is people, once again, are shit. So because I do like this system where they can't PR their restaurant to death and then, you know, all of a sudden you think they're the best. So,
right.
But then Yelp doesn't seem to be very consistent in that, like, people are just bullying the people that are working for them. So I don't know the balance of it. What do you guys think? Because you were on that side of it.
I mean, I think the most memorable Yelp review we had was a particularly rough shift. We're at our neighborhood bar on cheap beer and tequila. And we pull up Yelp because we have to, right? Because if a review comes out about us, we would like to know about it beforehand. Because if you don't, you show up to line up the next day and you're getting reamed for something you have no knowledge about.
Right.
Worse. Oh, so your bosses check it every night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Religiously.
And this one was pretty nondescript. It was just, all it said was, waitress was mean. And Jan and I are sitting in the bar, and I'm like, I was kind of mean tonight. Were you mean tonight?
Yeah, I was mean tonight.
I'm like, oh my God, it could have been me.
It could have been me.
And it's great because then you don't know who it was. But a lot of times people write reviews and they will put descriptive factors in there enough to identify who you are. And then we like actually get in trouble for it.
What kind of things do you get in trouble for? Are they things that you did or things that it's like, come on, guys, like I am a waiter. I will have to be in the weeds sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's both. Sometimes it can be the food took too long. The server wasn't around enough. Meanwhile, they don't know that there was only one server for the whole restaurant. Or it can be the server was kind of an asshole to me. And that's generally my comments.
My dad still tips like it's 1920s.
Oh God.
And I don't mean the roaring 20s. I just mean
Depression 20s.
Right. And he'll just have a coffee, but he knows that coffee should be refilled immediately and you're supposed to make conversation.
Because I do think that that's like more like the 1950s, right?
Right.
Well, where like no matter where you went out, it was like you're going out. So even like a diner was a thing because most people were still cooking their food. It just like restaurants just kind of started becoming a thing that you just go to, right?
Right. And the whole motto of eat, drink, and be merry was popularized in that time too. So I think people decided that, yeah, we are going to go out and we are going to have a great time. So then they in turn expect conversation and immediate refills.
Mm-hmm. He still thinks you tip a quarter. You know, and by the way, and
I mean, if he's only having a coffee, okay.
He would, you know, I worked in the country where I'm from and I worked in New York City as a waiter. When I was in the country, my dad would come and visit me and where's Keith's section? Sit in my section as though it's kind of humiliating. It's odd. And I'm here serving my father and he thinks he's doing me a favor. Like, sure, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be the nice customer and I'm here. And what a treat. You can refill my coffee immediately when I'm ready. I'll sip it in weird intervals so you never know when it's coming.
What was your Yelp review from him?
A quarter. No, he would give a dollar and be like, you know, put on the table. Welcome. Like, yes, as if to say.
Uh-huh. Ironed dollar. Yeah, yes. Sure. Sure.
You're welcome, my son.
Yes, yeah. You did very well.
Raised you well. Yes. It's a compliment to him.
And then I would get an article ripped out of the newspaper on how waiters make better tips. And I'm like, I know you mean well, but this is weird. Chelsea, this person, wrote a Yelp review. On the real, I eat here all the time. I probably will because I like to go out and there are a few options available to me. But y'all listen. During my visit, a bare butt naked baby was running around, stood up on a table with its black, they're so dirty feet. And bent over to show me its butthole. I wish I was exaggerating. This is like while I'm eating. You know, by the way, when people rate, this is what I'm talking about. You're writing your review. You don't have to rate it like you talk. You know, like the ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is like while I'm eating. And it's the owner's kids. An older kid came over and started like yodeling and staring at me during my meal. I was so uncomfortable. Like, I get it's a family establishment. I want you to just write down that you're clearing your throat. Like, I get it's a family establishment and kids do weird things, but naked baby was running around for like 15 minutes while all the workers started are just standing to the side talking and laughing over it. And for my food, I can heat up a tofurkey sausage just as well in under half the time. After they do make their point, this is a point. You shouldn't have a baby running around naked, I assume. But at the end, they love to throw in a little dig. And they're like, that's why this place will be closed in a week, LOL. And this person, you give, you know, out of 5 stars, 2 stars.
Sure.
How'd it get up to 2?
Yeah.
Baby's showing you his asshole.
Babies are cute, though.
And then they're microwaving your food, and the owners don't care. The dessert was good. 2 stars.
Yeah, and they'll probably go back.
Oh, so you said that. I'll probably go back. But I do have options.
There was a review I review things on this show, and I kind of feel like it's the same asshole move, right? I'm still critiquing the place. There's this place in the West Village. They have other, I think it's called Roadie Booty. No, it's not. I call it Roadie Booty because I'm racist. And they make these Indian burritos that are so good. And I hate them all. Everybody behind the counter. I hate their attitude. I hate the way they speak to me. I hate it all. And my review would be, these are so good. They can throw it at my face and I would still come back. And I know it's true because they didn't physically throw it at my face, but they hate me. They hate me every time.
Are these public reviews good for the restaurant industry in general or bad?
Oof. I mean, they get people interested in reading about a restaurant. So I think in that aspect, there's something to be said about it. People are like following what's going on in the dining culture and like what trends, and especially with Instagram and everything, everyone like wants to be part of that.
Would you change your name as you're actually serving so that people can't write about
you? Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's how, when anyone asks my name, I don't give them my real name.
Right.
Absolutely not, no.
I didn't even think of that.
No, and yep. I use Jen because it's very forgettable. It sounds kind of like Jen or Jan or, you know. Right. No one really knows, and you kind of just slip it in very monotone, but...
I did that, too, as a waiter. They go, what's your name? And I go, Mitchell Pluck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, oh, my goodness. I'll never
fancy.
Be able to...
Fancy. Yeah.
I do that, too. I go, my name is Chemda. Anyway, what would you like to drink? Good luck. Yeah.
Write that down. But yeah, no, we've discussed too when people will be like, what's your name? And they'll be like, oh, whatever, right. Kath, Jan. And then they don't tell you their name back. Like, I'm Tom. Nice to meet you. They're just like, mm-hmm. And then you already see the wheels spinning of like, this guy's going to be yelping in 20 seconds. Yeah. And like, he's going to be like, oh, she didn't smile in the first like 3 minutes. Ah.
I read an article one time and I wasn't sure if it was like written by a waiter and made it seem like it was a, you know, somebody looked things up and put the info together and whatever it was. I don't know how factual it was, but people are complaining that food is taking longer. Waiters are taking longer. Everyone's taking, like, there's not really a lot of customer service as much. And one of the reasons is because people are on their phones, because people ask the waiter to take pictures of them, because they add all this extra shit where in a different time, you wouldn't have all of that distraction and their time would go faster. Is that true?
Oh, totally.
Absolutely. Yeah? I mean, I think pre like smartphones, people would come into a restaurant and be expecting to talk to their guests and to have an experience with the server or the bartender or whoever they're with. And then they would eat their food and enjoy it. And they would drink their drink and enjoy it. And then they would leave. And if they wanted to tell their friends about it, they would do it later.
You know? But they don't know instantly.
Right. But now it's like this whole concept has changed to where I must show my friends what I'm about to eat right now before I eat it. And I have to get the perfect picture because, oh my God, it might not look great, but it really is great. But you actually have no idea because you haven't even tried the dish.
And then when you do, it's cold.
Yeah,
that's ruined.
When you see somebody taking a picture of their food, do you just think douche, or are you like, hey, it's an experience for them. They obviously don't go out too much. Let them have a picture.
Depends how many photos. If you do like one or two real fast, because I'm guilty of it sometimes too. I'm like, oh, what beautiful plating. You know, right. Someone who's like in the industry. I'm like, oh, this is a chef or a kitchen staff who knows what they're doing. Fine, quick snap. But for the people who have like the
they bring
angles,
their own lighting.
Yeah, yeah, the kits and everything. It's like, can you just stop doing that and eat your food already?
Like, I mean, my thing is mostly like, just enjoy it because it's created for you to enjoy in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And I bet somebody else took a picture of it and it's online.
Right.
Right.
You know, if it was really like the best cod fillet ever, the kitchen already took the picture of it and it'll be on the website in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, I do that. Like, it's like you said, you do it anyway mm-hmm. because it is an experience and you do have a phone in your pocket and you don't have to take it in, you know, because it used to be that every picture that you took, you had to think about, is this worth, you know,
the 20 cents
and the 26 pictures that I have mm-hmm. before I have to take it in to get developed, then mm-hmm. wait, then decide that like, then I wouldn't take a picture of my food because it's one of the 26 mm-hmm. pictures I have.
But are you doing it for you to look back later and go, how about that day? Or when people do it, are you bragging? Look what I was able to afford.
You know what I can't tell? I can't tell what I would do without this show. Because what happens is I grew up with this show with the internet and I feel like that's different. A lot of times when I take a picture, I'm like, I know I'm going to talk about this on the show. I know it would help if I had this reference, you know? Right. So I don't know how much of that is bleeding into my actual life. I don't think that I would be participating in Instagram, Facebook, Twitter as much. I know I wouldn't because I don't care. I forget to take a picture. But now I know, like, we went camping and I'm like, well, if I say that, you know, the fire is like this and my camping equipment is like this, it would help to have a picture. Mm-hmm. But then I end up feeling happy about it because 5 years later, I run across the picture and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right.
So I don't know.
But do you remember the food right. and the taste of it? Yeah. Or because I think if you are
Bechamel, those were the days.
You know, like if you're really into saving the moment, wouldn't you take a picture of the people that you're with?
Right.
Too?
Or a fork in your hand.
Or something like, this is me enjoying it. Ah, oh, it's so good.
Oh, I did like it. I
right?
remember now. Look
like,
at my
I don't know. I don't remember food descriptions like, 30 seconds later after I've even right. eaten it. Mm-hmm.
There's a bar restaurant here in the city called Johnny Utah's, and it's pretty popular. It's a sports bar, and they have a mechanical bull. And a patron is suing Johnny Utah's because he says he got hurt. Jocelyn, she got hurt on the bull. And they shouldn't have let her on the bull because she was too drunk.
Surprise, surprise. There's a lawsuit coming out of a mechanical bull.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. How is it worth it? They've had a couple lawsuits from this mechanical bull. Is it so worth it?
How is it that they're not getting a lot of lawsuits? Those mechanical books, they throw you off. Granted, into a puffy thing, but you're not landing, right?
Yeah, and that's the intent of a mechanical ball, right?
Yeah,
right.
The thing is when, okay, so when...
If everybody stays on, it's broken.
Yeah.
When a stunt double does a stunt, they fall into the same kind of material, right? A nice poof. But you don't go, hey, Keith, just jump off. You're going to fall into a poof anyway. Right. We don't need the stunt double who's going to cost us a lot.
A drunk patron sued the popular Midtown bar, Johnny Utah's, for allowing her to ride its notorious mechanical bull, an adventure that left her with a torn ACL. I rode this bull, by the way. It's fun. They're a little tougher on the guys than the girls, I've noticed, by the way.
But don't you think she's also a little bit right?
No.
No?
They give you a form to sign. I don't know how drunk you are. Now what? I got to give you a breathalyzer. You can ride a bull or you can't ride a bull.
I mean, they are under some obligation to not overserve the patron to where they're so inebriated.
Right, but you can't tell people you're in a sports bar. How do I know how drunk you are? Right.
I don't know. Is that a lawyer? is that a thing?
I mean, the fact that they have a release obviously is a great thing. That's going to release them from any kind of liability generally. If she's alleging that it's that she was overserved and then allowed to get onto this mechanical bull. How are you going to prove that, first of all? Like, did someone take your blood alcohol level right at that moment?
No. Well, is there an over-serving line, like above 3 drinks, above 4 drinks, above...
I mean, so the law is that you're allowed to consume alcohol. You're not allowed to be drunk.
What?
You're not legally allowed to be drunk.
What?
Yeah.
Just crazy. And also, you can't monitor how much people are drinking before they get to whatever location anyway. Right. So...
It's all subjective too, right? Each individual has a different tolerance, and depending on how much they've consumed and how many hours.
How much they've eaten.
They're like, sir, are you sure you can ride the bull? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a disease. I'm able to handle it.
I mean, I think the lawsuit itself is bullshit, but if she were to allege that she had been overserved and then experienced consequences because of that, then
how come she's not embarrassed to sue? Why are you suing them? I was too drunk and I got on a bull. you're not ashamed.
I disagree with that. I think don't be ashamed. I think you tore your ACL and you're probably in a very, very bad place. And
coincidentally, she's a bitch. Coincidentally,
you don't have insurance, and that's your answer. Who knows?
Like if somebody says, you know what Jocelyn's doing, suing this company because she got on a bull when she was drunk. I bet you people that know her go, that is so not like her. I mean, really, down to earth Jocelyn, you're telling me.
If you're drunk, though, aren't you supposed to be more like rubber-like? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
You're not supposed to get injured as easily. So what was she doing?
I went out to celebrate a good friend of mine that was getting married and stepped out of my comfort zone and this happened. She's 33. She said she was visibly intoxicated and was still allowed to ride the bull. I was violently thrown off the bull before having a chance to mount the device, causing life debilitating injuries and surgeries. She said she didn't even get all the way and this guy's moving the bull, which I couldn't picture at all. And I mean it.
I mean, that's a different story then. If he like,
yeah, if he's trying to break her.
If she isn't given the time to get on it and then it's moving like before as she's trying to mount the bull. Yeah. I mean, that's, it could be.
Is that a case?
I guess.
Would you take this case?
No, probably not.
Okay.
There's your answer.
Is this your line of law? What you practiced?
I mean, kind of. Yeah, I do personal injury. So usually motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls, things like that.
Now, don't you get a bunch... That makes me think of a shitty clientele. Scamming and scheming, because that is the reputation, right?
Yeah. I mean, most personal injury attorneys have the connotation of being ambulance chasers, unfortunately. And there are, believe it or not, people like that, that will see an accident happen, go approach the victim or people that are involved and say, oh my God, I can really help you get a lawyer and I can really help you get treatment. And then you get in their car and they have a CB radio and they're like listening to all the other accidents that have happened, stopping off at other accident scenes.
Now, is there something wrong
with
that?
That's illegal, by the way. That's illegal.
Other than it being legal, is there a moral thing that's wrong with that? Meaning, like, I have had accidents where I'm like, wow, this is definitely the road that fucked up. Like, you know, everyone's literally, a lot of people are pulled over on the highway because this one hole in the cement is popping everybody's tires. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I know that it's a thing that you can... sue or get your money for that or like make it, I don't know what it is. I'd have to come to your office. So I would be grateful if they contacted me like, hey, we noticed that you're on the side of the road. Here's what we can do.
Yeah, but that's so sketchy. Don't ever, if someone approaches you and is like, I can get you money, your first instinct should be no. And then call me and I'll tell you about it.
Do you get people come to your office that say like, ouch, my neck? And you're like, your neck, nothing. Get out of here.
I mean, yeah, my experience in law school was a lot of criminal defense. So I was automatically trained to question what people were telling me and whether or not it was truthful. But now I think restaurants helped me learn too. Mm-hmm. Like part of your job as a server or bartender is to read your guests' nonverbal cues and body language.
My neck hurts. Am I telling the truth?
I mean, I don't know.
do you ever get confused if you're Kath and Jan or your real birth names and you show up like, let's say you show up to court and you have the purple wig on. Like, you're Mrs. Doubtfire and everything moves so fast, you're confused. That ever happen?
You know, I mean, I think that the judge might give me what I want if I show up in this one.
Let me rephrase that question. Are you an idiot, but like people are filming you, so it's going to be a fun movie?
A little bit of A, a little bit of B, you never know.
Have you ever scammed the restaurant you worked at?
No.
I've definitely been scammed by the restaurants I've worked in.
Like hiding tips, that kind of thing, or what?
Like stealing tips from my paycheck without a conversation repeatedly, even after the conversation happened. Right. Like it was like $500 every 2 weeks with a retro tips charge. I'm like,
what?
I'm sorry, wait, you know, number one, that I'm a lawyer. And number two, what are you doing? Like, what is this going to? Ultimately, we ended up like reducing the payback to a written agreement. And then I was gone for like 2 days. It was in South Carolina, really far, right? And they ended up taking out $900 from my paycheck, even though it was supposed to be only $250. And I come back and I'm like, what the hell? Like, we had an agreement reduced to writing signed by both of us. And they're like, oh, yeah, we just couldn't get in touch with you. I'm like, I was in South Carolina, not Guatemala. Like, come on. You know it's not hard.
On your way out, take a piece of cake. Let's come down.
Yeah, basically, that's pretty much how it ended. Like, I had to split ways with them because they just, I mean, if they're doing that to me, who knows who else they're doing it to. And there's a lot of people that work there that are immigrants from other countries, documented or not. And so they're not really willing to, like, raise that argument. And reasons why I got into law anyway, because I want to speak for those people, because fuck you.
Right. Do you go after that restaurant since you have some resources?
It's, it's a work in progress.
Yeah. And this was weird.
See, I wouldn't make it necessarily a legal issue, but I would, you know, if the restaurant didn't have a checks and balance system and I was the only one, you know, that had a record of that, I'd steal the whole table. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind doing that.
Oh, like instead of putting it in the...
Yeah, I'd keep the money. You know, that kind of thing. And get my $900 back, you know, one way or the other. What I did at a restaurant, they had these coupons in the menu for $10 off. So if you happen to come in with it. And they were also just waiting at the door. So if you're smart enough to happen to get a to-go thing, you can take it off and rip it down. Well, not many people do that. Except coincidentally, all my customers were getting $10 off. You know what I mean? And they're like, this is weird, Keith. All your customers, and no other waiter seems to. I'm like, I don't know. I have savvy customers.
You wouldn't eat. Doesn't that make you like do maybe every other one or something or no?
Well, I didn't do every one, but I did enough where they're like, okay, something's going on. Okay. You're getting a lot of coupons.
And then
you would keep the 10.
Then I keep the $10 and I turn in the coupon.
I am into that because I've always heard of waiters doing something like that, bartenders, whatever, and I've never heard of them going home rich.
Right.
Really, like, that $10 probably put him just above poverty line, and I can't deal with that. So I'm not big on condoning. I know it sounds like I steal here and again, and I do, but I stopped doing that. But that, I'm just like, the restaurant's not paying attention that you're not making a decent wage. They're not helping you out. They actually don't really give a shit. And your check at the end of the week is literally zero.
Right.
Like you really get a check that says 10 cents on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Is it, do you find it funny that, and I've worked everywhere, I've, you know, all kinds of restaurants. I find it funny that when you're at a low rent diner, the customers demand more and are shittier as opposed to working at a steakhouse where everybody's so almost overly polite for the most part, where it's like, no, you're paying $50 for a steak. You can complain. But otherwise, it's like, no, you're demanding, but you don't understand why you had to pay extra for toast and you're yelling at me.
True. Yeah, I mean, depends. I think I've had the opposite experience. When I worked in like mom and pop shops, it was always great guests. Oh, yeah? And people were always really receptive to me being myself and okay. wanted to know more about me. But then when I worked fine dining, it was like, she's not smiling. And, her attitude's bad. And, why is she wearing a tie? Like, I don't, they made me put this on. I didn't choose it. I'm sorry. It doesn't make me look attractive.
I remember when I started working at, you know, a fine restaurant. And then someone like, all right, I'll take the salmon. And I'm thinking, that's $42.
For salmon. Really? Like,
and I give the check, you know, this $300 check between two people. I'm like, I guess you're going to throw it back at me. Oh, you're paying it. You're paying that.
Yeah. And they're going to tip like 20-25 just because it's money and they've got tons of it.
Once a year, Keith and I celebrate the podcast anniversary and we go to like a very special dinner that we never would spend money on. And the whole time we're like, we just ordered that.
Two asparagus is $12? Okay.
That better be good.
Do you take photos though while you're having
this? Yes. Okay. Well, we got to report back. It's once a year.
Absolutely.
The audience would just think we're assholes. You know? They want proof.
They need proof.
The podcast you want to check out is called In the Service. You can follow it on Twitter, In the Service Pod, Instagram, In the Service, and the website, InTheServicePodcast.com. And like I said, you know, they talk to the chefs. Your fiance is a chef, right?
He is.
And he's not an asshole somehow?
No. He's actually one of the nicer guys on the line that I've ever seen.
What is it about chefs? You know what I'm talking
about. They're egomaniacs, right?
Is that what it is?
They're beasts.
I mean, I kind of liken them to lawyers, too. Like, they've gone through a lot of training, a lot of shit. They've worked their way up, most of them.
And now it's their turn to be the asshole.
And now, I mean, it's their product. It's their creation. It's their idea that they have melded with other ingredients and other resources.
People work in places where it's their idea. Like, we have ideas here, and we can't yell at Andrea every day. We just can't.
I mean, but if you have meticulously planned the way that this piece of meat is going to be cut.
Nope, still not. No, you can't yell at people for not cutting the meat. Like, that's crazy. Not the way they do. No.
I had a chef come to my table and he goes, against the grain. Jesus Christ, you guys.
I mean, I had a chef that I worked for that the first night I was live on the floor, the guest complained about the eggplant parm being too salty. And she overheard me telling the other manager about it. And she just hears it, turns around, goes to the table, picks up the plates and says, you guys can go. Kicks them out, right? Doesn't taste the sauce. That shit was fucking salty, I'm just going to say. Mm. Doesn't consider the fact that I just took care of this table and it's a two-top and their bill's like $120. And there goes your revenue and my tip. And now, like, it's my first day here. Like, I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, that was your first day?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's an eye-opener. And you didn't go in the back and cry. You're lying.
No, didn't cry. I maybe, like, walked outside and stomped around the block for a while, but there were no tears.
Yeah. You're good at that. I'm the crier, but in this relationship.
You're totally the crier.
I'm the crier.
Well, Kat, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.
Jan, thank you as well.
Thank you so much. This is great.
And check it out, all right?
You guys, if you like this show, share it. On any platform that you're listening to, there's a share button we'd love for your friends to listen to. KeithandTheGirl.com